Please keep your Bible there, open in 1 Corinthians 12. It's good to be back off holiday and to be here today when there's a little bit more light around. Apparently Matt was saying to me that he could hardly see his notes or anyone's faces last week since they painted the late bar this nice grey colour. Good to see you folks at the back, sat in the bar there. Good you're facing this way, not that way, ordering a drink. During September, we are just spending some time focusing on these verses in 1 Corinthians. They are extremely important, actually, in terms of us understanding how we relate to each other as a church, how we serve one another, and how we actually build one another up as a church, how we grow spiritually. But they are also themes and ideas here that churches have down in history have actually been divided over, and in actual fact some of the themes that we are looking at tonight, the great theme of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts, actually still splits churches and splits Christians in Sheffield today. We're just being honest about it, frank about it. That's it's still going on today. It's nothing new, because as we read these verses, we realise that the Corinthian church, this early church, were being divided over these great issues as well. I mean, we ask ourselves, how on earth can Christians divide and split and argue with one another over the Holy Spirit? How can Christians get at each other's throats over the generosity of God in his gifts to the church? I mean, why do we do that? It is stupid, isn't it? It's ludicrous. But we do. And they did then. And it's good to have these words in front of us to help us and to guide us as a church as we begin, as it were, a new year together after the summer break, after the summer holiday season. There is one reason why churches, and one reason in particular why the church in Corinth was getting it all wrong. There are a number of reasons, but there's one there in verse 1 of chapter 12, and that is just simply being uninformed, being ignorant, just not even knowing what we're talking about. We start dividing and splitting over God's Holy Spirit, over the gift of the church, because we're ignorant. We don't know what we're talking about. And so Paul here, as he wrote this letter, the early Christian leader Paul writes to this church in Corinth. I think most people think that this letter, 1 Corinthians, is one of the earliest of the New Testament documents. And so here is Paul, he's writing to them and he says, look, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. And we don't want to be here at Christ Church Central ignorant over these matters. We want to, we have great unity as a church, and that is precious. We don't want to lose that. We want to keep our unity. We want to maintain that, the great friendships that we have amongst ourselves. So let's be informed. Let's understand these things rightly so that we can preserve what God has already given to us and we're thankful to him for. So tonight's section, verse 12 there, begins with that word for. See that? Because. So everything we're thinking about tonight relates to what came in verses 1 to 11. Now that was last week's section, and I've listened to Matt Thompson's talk on the website, and I'd encourage you to do the same thing if you weren't here last week to hear that. It tells us here in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11, how to tell if someone really is spirit-filled or not. And I'm not going to go into that now. I don't want to steal Matt's thunder from last week. He spoke very, very clearly about that from the passage. So listen to it and discover what it is. How do you tell if someone's got the Holy Spirit or not? Well, listen, have a read again of those verses. It also tells us what the Spirit's gifts are for. Who they're for. And gives us some great stuff on a right attitude as well. So if you weren't here, then please do listen or read to that talk on the website. The first thing I want to share really from this little section this evening is this. The Holy Spirit brings unity and he brings diversity to the church. The Holy Spirit brings unity and he brings diversity. That's verses 12 and 13. First of all, diversity. Look at verse 12 with me. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. It's it's talking about the body. It's all very, very obvious indeed. I mean, just take a moment to look at the person sat next to you. Here's an opportunity for you to stare at them. Look them up and down. I mean, if you look at the person next to you, I hope they're not Mike Lewinsky off Monsters, Inc. You see the little Mike Lewinsky, all eye and a big mouth. That's a monster, isn't it? I mean, you look at the person sat next to you. Hopefully, generally, they're more than just one great big eye and a huge, great big, whopping, great big mouth. Generally, they'll be their head next to you, and nose, ears, eyes, shoulders, arms, and skin. And that's the stuff you can see. And inside the skin is all that stuff you're happy you can't see. We're one body, have got lots of parts. Really very obvious indeed, isn't it? And that's the church. The church is one, but it's got all sorts of little parts, some that we see going on, some that we don't see going on. We'll come to that later on in our little section there. So it's good, isn't it, that a church demonstrates this diversity. Look again at verse 12. There's numerously of various parts. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And we would expect him to say church there, wouldn't we? So it is with the church. But he doesn't. He says, so it is with Christ. You see, the church and the Lord Jesus Christ are so closely related to one another that the Apostle Paul here can interchange talking about Christ and talking about the church. It's fascinating, though, isn't it? I mean, it calls us to just check the way that we value the person that we've just spent a moment staring at. How do we value them? As Christ, as part of Christ's body? A little check there for our minds and our hearts. Jesus and the church are so closely related to one another. It says, so it is with Christ. Of course, when Paul, the guy writing this letter, he used to persecute Christians, and one day he's going to a place called Damascus, which is still around these days, and he was on his horse going to arrest Christians, and he met the living Jesus. He had great blazing light. He was thrown off his horse, and Jesus spoke to him and said, Paul, Saul is his Hebrew name. Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, he wasn't persecuting Jesus, was he? Not physically, but he was going to go and persecute the church. Now, Jesus and his people, his church, are so closely related to one another that Paul can use the words interchangeably there. So it raises another question, doesn't it? I mean, we know that going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, no. But can you be a Christian and not be an active member of a church? I think verse 12 says no. Because if you're a Christian, you're a part of Christ, you're a part of his body. Hey, is it daft, isn't it, to be a part of the body, to be the hand and never to be connected, my hand never to be connected to the rest of me? Oh yes, I'm a Christian, I don't have anything to do with the body that I'm a part of. Odd. Silly behaviour, really, isn't it, when we think about it? Who is the body of Christ? Every Christian, whatever their background, as Kate was sharing earlier on, what Jesus asked of multicultural? Jesus wants to look at our church and see that we're multicultural. And so here it goes on and talks about the members of the church, all baptised, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free. All were made to drink of the one spirit there in verse 13. So that brings us really to the unity. The church has a diversity to it, but it also has unity. We are one. One body. Look again at verse 13. In one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, our diversity, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So those who are once separated from each other on the basis of their racial origin Jews and Gentiles, those who were once separated from one another on the basis of their social status, slaves and free, were now one in Jesus. Every Christian is baptized, verse 13, submerged in the Spirit. And every Christian, verse 13, the end of it there, is made to drink of the same Spirit. And so the church couldn't be more diverse, yet at the same time it couldn't be more united. It couldn't be more united at all. It couldn't be any more Spirit-drenched or filled than described in verse 13. I mean, verse 13 talks about us being in the Spirit, and the Spirit being... Oh, let me demonstrate. I brought along a very simple visual aid here. Here is a nice vase of water. And here is Postman Pat. Postman Pat is hollow, and Postman Pat is now in the water. He's got stuck to the... There we are. He's in the water, and the water is in him. Postman Pat doing David Blaine. That's fantastic, isn't it? That's the description there in verse 13 of the Christian, of the church. We have been baptized, submerged in God's Spirit. And God's Spirit, when we become a Christian, comes and lives in us. We're drunk of the Spirit. He's all of outside. He's outside us. We're in him, and he's in us. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I mean, read another letter in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, and it just simply describes and says that anyone who has come to trust Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, whether they've heard the gospel and believed it, have been given the Holy Spirit. And Matt was saying some similar sort of things last week from earlier in 1 Corinthians 12 there. Those who know and live with Jesus as Lord. This way, whether you feel like it or not. It's a wonderful illustration, isn't it? Absolutely fantastic. I hope it sticks with us and you remember that in the days, the months, years ahead as you journey through your Christian life. That you remember what it is to be part of God's church. So to be fully in God's Spirit. You can't get closer to Jesus than you already are if you're a Christian. I mean, that analogy there of being in and all around and inside, you can't get closer to Jesus than you already got. Sometimes you'll be promises and offers, this is another way of getting closer to him. Well, you can't be any closer than you already are. So praise God for it. Lift your head up and put your shoulders back and walk joyfully, thankfully. So this is true. It's wonderful stuff, isn't it? And that's true for every Christian, true for any member of the church, true for the church corporately together. A whole load of Post and Pat's gone in there, as it were. The Corinthian church was divided. And some were making one gift, tongues, the measure of whether someone had the Spirit or not. And Paul says basically to them, stop being ignorant. Stop being uninformed and realize the opposite. Quit the divisive attitudes because you are united. You are united by the Holy Spirit into one body, Christ's body. And the Holy Spirit gives a diversity of gifts, not just one. So just get real. He comes in, he brings unity and he brings diversity. So for us to go around expecting one gift to demonstrate his presence, that is just nonsense. It's ignorant talk. It's foolish talk. Get with it. He's going to bring a diversity. So expect diversity. Expect multiculturalism in any church where there are likely to be people of different cultures and nations and languages around it. Wonderful, isn't it? So let's not be uninformed at Christ Church Central about the Holy Spirit. He brings unity and diversity to us at Christ Church Central. Let's expect, let's foster unity and diversity. Let's avoid division and live and enjoy the reality of our unity. United but not cloned. United but not cloned. Wouldn't it be a shame if we all were Postman Pats? We're all cloned. I mean, it would just be horrific, wouldn't it? Thank God for diversity. The second thing to draw our attention to here is the Holy Spirit brings unity and diversity to the church, so we must check our mindset and correct our attitudes. And that's something that I think as Christians and as a church we need to keep on doing. You don't just do it once and then you're sorted. We need to keep on going, checking our attitudes and reshaping, correcting our mindset. A bit like every 2 years, well, it's every year because my dad's got glaucoma, I get a free eye test, so I head off there, and I get some new lenses, I come out there and suddenly everything's a lot clearer. Trees, you realise, they're not just sort of green smudges, they've actually got individual leaves on them. We need to do that in our spiritual lives, just get that check again, and our focus, make sure that we are seeing things properly, that we've understood things properly, because we do begin to lose our sight. So let's check our mindset, correct our attitudes. First of all, let's beware of false humility, and that's verses 14 and 15. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any lesser part of the body. So this is the kind of person who feels, perhaps, that they don't have a gift. Or that their gift just isn't being used, or hasn't been noticed. It's not that much of a gift anyway. And sometimes they present themselves, or if that's us, we present ourselves really as we're coming humble. I'm just not as gifted as others. It presents itself, perhaps, as humility. I'm not a hand. I've not really got some of the gifts that seem to be really important and much needed in the church. So, I don't know, I feel a bit depressed about it. I may as well leave and go somewhere else. But Paul says, if you're a hand, say you're going to leave, it doesn't make you any less of the part of the body than a hand. Get real. Stop being ignorant. Stop being silly about it. I think the potential for falling into this particular temptation of false humility, I think it's going to carry on growing for us as a church. When we started here at Christ Church Central, and it's great to have a whole load of people here tonight who were not here with us when we started 3 years ago. It is brilliant to see you. You are the reason why we started this church. It's fantastic to see you. There are other faces I see around that I didn't see around before I went on my holiday, and I want to welcome you. It's good to see you. But when we started, there were 50 of us. So we were much, much smaller. 50 adults, 52 adults, 13 children. And we were closer to one another, closer to the action, closer to our leaders, closer to the vision, closer to the vulnerabilities. That was really important, actually, to be closer to the church's vulnerabilities. We all have a sense of being together, shoulder to shoulder, praying for things, and we're going through the same experiences together. We've grown, and we aim to grow. We aim to carry on growing. And as we grow, it's more likely that, we won't be so close to one another. It's just the way things will work with the dynamic. So it's likely that the temptation to feel, I'm a bit on the periphery, I'm not so needed here, that temptation, I think, will probably begin to increase amongst us. And I want to say, let's beware of it. Let's be on our guard against it. Be on our guard when we find ourselves thinking, I'm a bit out the loop. I don't feel needed or as needed as I used to. I don't have one of the seemingly important gifts that seem to be developing and growing. But look at verse 16 and 17 as the writer Paul goes on. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any lesser part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, like Mike Lewinsky, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? As you are tempted in this way to feel like you're not quite there and feeling outside of the body and the church family, it's crucial that you remember, that we all remember who we are, that we are members of Christ's body. You can't get more important than that, whether you're a finger or a toe or an eyeball or a brain. You can't get more important than just simply being a member of Christ's body. You are hugely vital and totally significant and totally indispensable. We talk about people being, no one's indispensable. We believe it, members of Christ's body, we are indispensable, every single one of us. We need to remind ourselves of that. And we also just need to be a little bit careful, and the reason why I call it false humility is the way verses 18 and 20 go on. You see, it can present itself as humility. Oh, I don't have the gifts, don't have the right gifts. But what are we really beginning to say? Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. See, we're beginning to say, aren't we not? God's got it wrong. And if I were God, I'd have done it this way. You see, rather than it being genuine humility, it could be that we're falling into the danger of absolute arrogance and wanting the number one job, God's job, in our whinging. I would say thankfully that we are not a church like the Corinthian church were. I know that we are not a church of whingers, far from that. We're not. But I think we need to pray, because all of us have sin in our hearts and all of us are proud, that we keep praying and working against these things. We guard against false humility, because it's a devastating sin, really. Questions God. The Holy Spirit brings unity and diversity to the church. So let's check our mindset, keep praying about things, keep correcting our attitudes, beware of false humility, and let's get on with serving. And sometimes it's appropriate, isn't it, and right to ask, what's my gift? I think it's more appropriate as we get a handle on how the gifts are given for other people and for us to serve other people, instead of saying, what's my gift? Perhaps sometimes right, isn't it, to keep on saying, how can I serve? Keep us focused outwards rather than centred on self, centre on others. So secondly, in this main second section, beware of arrogance. Verses 21, 22. The eye cannot say to the hand, I've no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I've no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Referring to those here who are the opposite to those that seem to be the humble ones. These are the ones who really are arrogant, and obviously so. They think they have got the most important gift or gifts, and they rather look down around the church. They look down on other members of the church and thinking, well, you've not quite got the gifts I've got. And so you don't really kind of measure up. So I'm not going to give you so much time as I give to other people who I really think have got the right gifts. This is a horrific way of beginning to think, but seriously, this is the way we as human beings and churches act. We do start looking down on one another, looking down on other people that aren't like us. It's a really serious human problem. It's a serious problem. Whether it's tongues, as it was in Corinth, or whatever. Now, one great antidote to arrogance is to remember the parts of the body, the people, the gifts, that aren't so obvious as ours, as if we do have obvious gifts, that are the public gifts, as it were. You stand up here and speak and lead. You sing, and you play guitar, drums. These are quite obvious gifts, aren't they? But we see. A great antidote is to begin to start thinking, well, actually, what about those people that I haven't noticed for a while? How about praising them? That'll put a pin into my own arrogance and self-importance. Start thinking of other people. Start thinking, without such gifts, without other people, the church would be in a terrible state. The opposite to bigging ourselves up is honouring others. I think that's what verses 23 to 25 say. And on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it. Paul goes on, verse 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So he's talking there, you know, you've got a public gift. Well, actually, start thinking about other people's whose gifts perhaps aren't so public. And praise God for them, honour them. Now, the Bible says it's right to sing the praises of unsung heroes. Look at the final part of verse 24. I always used to feel very uncomfortable, and this is one of the things that struck me this week. And I've had a bit of a check, I suppose, in one attitude that I've had. And that is in the past, over the years as a church leader, annual AGNs, you know, you thank all the people who do various things and you give them a round of applause, and I often sit there thinking, well, you know, that's they've had their sort of honour for their gift, and not going to be much applause for them when they get to heaven. And yet, this passage challenges me on that and says, well, no, we ought to be honouring people now. We ought to be giving people applause and praise now. And sometimes perhaps we should be doing it a lot more than we do. So, I'm going to spend a little bit of time, a few moments now, just actually singing the praises of some unsung heroes in our church. Nathan Oliver, he's an unsung hero of Christchurch Central. Nathan is. He's done a huge amount of work in his own time, at his own cost, thinking through, carefully planning for some disabled toilets in Edgerton Hall with Louise. I don't know how much it would have cost us financially if we'd had to get someone that could do draftsman work and get them to do it outside. Nathan's done it all for us as a gift. He's an unsung hero, and we thank God for him. Louise Viner. We sing Louise Viner's praises rightly often, but I particularly want to mention her computer literacy this evening. Because 3 years ago she was completely ignorant in that area, and she's worked really hard over the last 3 years to learn how to use. I've been with her, we've kind of like walked together, I suppose, down this path of trying to be a church that's really up to date and really not knowing how to do it. If ever we're on our own there in Edgerton Hall trying to figure something out, and Matt Thompson's not there, or Andy H isn't there, and we're completely lost. Louise has put great effort and energy and thought into getting to grips with it. Thank God for that. Bill and Sheila Fernhuff. Bill and Sheila led a really significant ministry with one of Britain's largest mission organisations, Operation, was OMF, down in, let's say, Operation Mobilisation, OMF. And I think Bill was in charge of one of OMF's biggest budgets in Japan. Really significant ministry. And I was influenced quite strongly by Bill and Sheila, years before I ever met them, because Bill and Sheila translated this little volume called Shirkari Pass. There's my old copy of the book, and there's Tanya's newer copy of the book, Shirkari Pass. They translated this novel, Christian novel, from Japanese, and it actually influenced a great generation of people, Christians around the world. My dad, when he rings me up, and I ring him up, and he asks about the church, says, "How's the Shirkari Pass man?" That's what he asks. He always asks, "How's the Shirkari Pass man?" You know what Bill does for us as a church? He clears rubbish up whenever he comes to Edgerton Hall. He goes around picking it up, putting it in the bin. What Sheila does? Takes away the towels each week and cleans them, brings them back fresh. Fantastic, isn't it? Folks who act with love and humility, having had great influence in other parts of the world for a long, long time. Clear rubbish. A heartbeat for servantness hasn't changed. Fantastic. We praise God for them. Phil McMinn and the great work that he does on the website. Keeping that thing going. The ministry that gives to people right across the world. I get emails from the Philippines and from folks in India, folks telling me how much they've benefited this, that and the other. As Phil has made it all happen. Thank God for him. Joan Dovner has just been surprised. She's not here, but she's just been surprised as she reads my Bible talk notes, because her name suddenly appears. Because each week Joan will take my Bible talk notes, and with Matt as well. She used to be a member of the church, but we sent her to the North Derbyshire as a missionary. But basically she still does what she used to do. I send my notes off to her, and she reads through them and makes sure that they are readable, because they're not really readable at all. I don't know how I get through them on a Sunday. You probably know that I don't get through them properly on a Sunday. But Joan goes through them and makes them presentable, puts all the commas in the right place and makes sure it's spelt right and all the grammar and all the rest of it, and sends it to Phil to put on the website. So thank you, Joan. Jeff Lawrence. Sunday by Sunday on PowerPoint, sometimes with Paul, but if Jeff wasn't doing that, we wouldn't have any words to sing. You wouldn't know what was going on in the talk. Unsung hero. Thank you, Jeff. Chris Pocock. Just happened to be with some other folks this week, and someone mentioned Chris Pocock. Unsung hero of Club Central, the children's ministry there. Someone said to me of Chris Pocock this week, Chris, he's just one of those folks, he just gets on and does. You can build and grow any church with folks like that, can't you? Fantastic. We thank God for Chris Pocock and Penny Harvey. Penny Harvey, what an awesome heart. Sacrificial personal care she consistently gives to people who sometimes whose lives have been broken up. Thank God for Penny Harvey and often what she does, which just isn't seen here, often around her home. Ruby Owl, we hope to see him back from Singapore very soon. But there's a guy, he's in the Singapore Navy, and the work that he does on a Sunday, turns up early, and you know, when initially he went back to Singapore over the summer, turned on the Sunday, thankfully other folks know what's going on with all these wires going around everywhere, but Ruby Owl is the guy who's consistently the one that we've been dependent upon doing it. We thank God for him and his servant heart. Brilliant stuff. And the precious gift that he gives to us as a church. There are a huge number of people in our church who are just simply babysitters. Tanya and myself would not have operated in this church as we have done and felt a part of things in the way we have done without you folk who babysit. You know you are. There's lots of you. We thank God for folks who babysit and look after those of us who've got children. It's a precious gift to us who have children, the way you care for us families. We thank God for you. There's that person in your Gamma team who's always there, no matter what level, and the Gamma teams are just simply the way we do our small church here at Christ Church Central. That person is always there, no matter what their level of weariness, no matter what the weather, they're there. And they just them being there is a huge encouragement to the rest of you. They didn't even know they're doing it. So don't tell them, so they might stop. No, encourage them. Sandra Suklau, and with the help of Fiona Bronson. Yeah, we're moving in this term to develop a second mother and toddlers on a different day of the week from a Monday morning to a Thursday morning, developing this thing we've called Ripples. Quite frankly, it would not be where it is now without Sandra and a pioneer heart and a steadfastness to just keep on going when it was just her and her own little one at that time. Just you, wasn't it? You're thinking, well, we've got to start somewhere. And you kept plodding on. Not a lot of people know that. But there's this ministry amongst mums and children and dads in a city centre, say it's the Andy home just here, in a city centre which wasn't here. And it's been used, the Polish ladies who come, but none of us ever see you on a Sunday. And there's a ministry going on in the city centre, thanks to Sandra and others that have joined her. Absolutely brilliant. Debbie Baker. Somewhere in the city, other church members who joined us with that week of mission and outreach thought she was Louise Viner, the way that she got on with people, organising everything, the way she knew everything was, and the way she served people. They thought that she had Louise's job. It's the way she did it. So we thank God for Debbie Baker. Nicola Harrison, as we move into the future, Nicola's just started part of the sort of treasurer's job. She's assistant treasurer, so we'll very rarely see Nicola up front presenting accounts. We'll see, we hope, Michael O'Connell fairly regularly in the future as our treasurer there, and we won't see so much perhaps publicly of Nicola, and she's already been doing the work. She'll be quietly getting on as an unsung hero, but I'm singing her praises today and thanking God for Nicola. And if you want to go to the Women's Convention in Manchester on the 7th of November, have a word with Nicola. Nicola, I'm looking for you. Just wave your hand. Be public for a moment. There she is at the very back. There's a Women's Convention in Manchester on the 7th of October, Saturday. Is that right? If any women wanting to go over there, Nicola's wanting to know who else is going. They're sharing lifts and the like and travelling together. I want to thank God for Andy Thaler as well. Andy's talkative in many ways and happy up front like me, But I'm thanking Andy today, actually, because he's been an unsung hero in the support that he's given to Kate Faver in the 3 years she was treasurer. Andy would sometimes kind of sidle up to me and just give me the nod on one or two important issues and things. I thank God for Andy for that, and the way he supported Kate, looked after her. Well, she's done a fantastic job. I come to Kate Faver. She's done an absolutely brilliant job as our treasurer. I've written a little card to her, and I'm going to read it to you all here, because I've written it. It's from all of you, but I've written it, so I better let you know what I've done. Dear Kate and Andy, we are so thankful to God for you. Kate, your work as treasurer has been a huge value to the church. Without you, we would not and could not have got to where we are now. Your gifts and skills are immense, Kate, but above all, we thank God for your character, the faithful, loving, considerate, firm, gospel-hearted, visionary way you've done all things, all marked out with absolute integrity. You have been and continue to be one of God's gifts to our church. We praise him with our love, Christchurch Central. And there's some flowers behind someone up there. Can you... you bring them forward, whoever's there, because you remember the church, come and thank. Whoever's got them, come and thank Kate Faver. Bring her the flowers. Hey, come on down. Let's give her a round of applause. Actually, isn't it? Praising others makes us happy. Praising others makes us happy. Honouring others leads to joy. That's exactly what verse 26 says, isn't it? If one member suffers, all suffer together. We would all soon be suffering if Bill didn't clear up the rubbish around Edgerton Hall. We'd all soon realise it if he wasn't able to do that. And we'd all begin thinking, well, we ought to put that on a rota now, because no one else is really willing to do it, maybe. Well, so when one suffers, we all suffer. When one member is honoured, all rejoice together. We feel a sense of, yeah, we thank God for all these people. And there are loads of the others of you that I've not mentioned publicly as well this evening. We thank God for you all. Praising God, it brings honour to God, doesn't it? It's his heart. Just as if one of those people I mentioned suffering, we weren't able to do what they do, or we'd miss them. We're all happy as well, and we rejoice when we honour one another. So when you find yourself tempted to be proud because of your gift, just remember that you're not so gifted that you don't need anyone else. You do. And when you're tempted to big yourself up, think of someone else and go and big them up. Go and praise God for them. So let's draw to a conclusion. Let's not be uninformed about the Holy Spirit. He brings unity and diversity to Christchurch Central. So let's keep on checking our mindset. Let's keep on correcting our attitudes. Let's beware of false humility and arrogance. And verse 27 of 30. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Don't ever forget that. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. And then he goes on, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? It's interesting, isn't it? There's a great list here of which isn't exhaustive, of various gifts, but the emphasis here is actually on a word that's not there, isn't it? It's easy to spot, isn't it? Spot the word that's not there that the emphasis is on. Look again at verse 29. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No, 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 no. Diversity. You are united. You are part of Christ's body. But no, you're not all the same. We're not all the same at all. Verse 31 says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Well, we'll find out what those are soon enough. So come back next Sunday, come back the Sunday after, but especially come back next Sunday when our attention will be on something without which even the higher gifts are a complete, total, utter waste of space. Verse 31, the second part, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And he moves us into chapter 13, so do come back.